Awesome. Hey, let's give a big hand for Chase. Shout out to Chase if you're watching online. Oh, it's good to be in church this morning. Amen. How you doing? My name is Tim. I have the great privilege of serving as the pastor here. And whether you are brand new or regular, in person or online, it's so good to be together. And amen to what Tess said. The church has no walls. Hey? And so, you know what? So often we have people who are in church. We've got to reframe how we look at this. Sometimes geographically, there are reasons that they move away and we lose them. We do. We lose their close friendship. But you know what? If we believe the church has no walls and we are just part of the one church, then we don't lose them at all. And what happened in their time here, hopefully they've grown, they've been matured, they've been equipped, and so they go out and bless someone else. Can I tell you just a brief part? That was me getting to pray with Chase. We were surfing together. I love that guy. He's connected with another guy, Declan, who was here, who beat me in a surfing comp, but we won't talk about that. Comes over here. I mean, come on. And my dad's American, so that's some sort of justice, like getting one back. Anyway, week one, Chase comes in. At the end of the service, comes up and says, I want to surrender my life to Christ. There is nothing more to get excited about than our salvation in Christ and someone doing that. We have got to reset our hearts if we're not excited about that. So wherever people are, they are still part of our family. And hasn't technology shown us you can pray for someone over the phone? You can Zoom with him. I mean, he was here for like 3 weeks. We went into lockdown. It was really a practice for him. I don't know if it is for you to take every anxious thought, because he's an overthinker. I love him. He won't mind me saying that. He had to give that to the Lord. It was full on, away from his family, away from his girlfriend, navigating this stuff. And God bless him. God showed up and really encouraged him in that. Chase is awesome. We love him. And he's still part of our family, though he's thousands of kilometers or miles away. Hey, this morning, I want to share part one of two parts. And I've called it Practicing the Way. And this is something that I'm going to come back to, and other speakers will come back to every now and then. Quite simply, coming out of John 14, 6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the and the, well done. If you don't know it, that's okay. You just learnt it. Way, truth, and life. And so what do we want to do? Well, Jesus is the way. Let's find out what the way is. Amen? So we keep coming back to this. And today I want to talk about invitation. Both receiving it and giving it. And I don't want to put some burden on you to go out and invite a ton of people. But hey, I'm still going to encourage you in that, okay? Is that cool? Because I don't think we can live as a Christian without doing that. And my title today, Practicing the Way, theme of invitation, is Raise the Bar. First, I want to check out Matthew 11, 28 to 30. You might know it. It should be up here in just a moment. We're going to read it. And if you want to read along with me, open your Bible, whatever you're doing, it is good. Jesus' words, and this invitation echoes through 2,000 years to us. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Let's just pause. A yoke is teaching. What he is teaching about the Old Testament, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible that the Jews he was talking to had. He's saying, listen to my teaching, because unlike the teaching of the religious leaders, Pharisees of the day, where it was super heavy and onerous, Jesus' teaching, his yoke isn't heavy, because our salvation, righteousness, is in him. We don't work for it. We have it by grace through faith. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So let's do that, hey? For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't our souls need rest? How are you doing? Really? Sometimes I feel like my soul is tired. My soul is burdened for myself, for my family, for others. I'm weary. How are you? We are weary. It's okay to say, I am full of faith. I am full of hope, but I'm pretty tired. We need rest and replenishment for our souls. And this incredible invitation, come to me, all who are weary. Isn't it profound? Can I encourage you one? I don't know, maybe the last thing you want today is someone to say, hey, let's look at what we can do. But that's why I'm sharing this with you first, because Jesus says, just come to me and rest. Find replenishment. And apart from finding life in him, this has to be one of the most incredible invitations you have ever received. Amen? I'm going to help you. You help me. Amen?
Amen?
Awesome. I wonder if you can think of an invitation that's meant something to you. Just picture it. What is it? Could be an occasion. You might be thinking the first time you heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that invitation, come to me, all who are weary. What was it? What was the latest one you received? Maybe it was something as simple but profound as, come have a coffee and just share with me. We missed a lot of that, didn't we? You know, I was catching up with Chase and a bunch of other guys on Zoom on a Friday at midday and just trusting, you know, even a couple of times it was just Chase or it was just Ashton. If you know Ashton, hey, Ashton, love you, bro. And it would just be us and we'd just hang out and be like, how you doing, man? What's happening for you? An invitation just to share. All of creation is an invitation to see God. How phenomenal is that? If we look around, look at how the stars sit in the sky, the moon at night, the sun in the daytime. You saw Chase surf. If anything changed about gravity or the viscosity of water or anything, no surfing. And my life will be not worth living. No, I'm kidding. Overstating. You know, guys, today we have to acknowledge that we've been in a season of depletion, but have faith and believe for a season of restoration. Amen. Accept Jesus' invitation. Come to me. What does that mean? Start your day. Lord, thank you. This is a new day. I might not feel great about it, but by faith, I'm walking into it knowing it's a gift from you. And I want to do what you will me to do. So I'm going to ask you. And I want to encourage you. Let's accept Jesus' invitation. Go to him. You're weary. You need rest. You've got burdens that are on you that are like weird, jutting out diagonally and weird things that Jesus never meant you to carry. And so to start, you can literally say, Lord, I have burdens. Some of them I know. Say them in out loud. Lord, I give them over to you. Or Lord, the ones I don't even know I have, take them from me. Accept Jesus' invitation. And then realize this about invitations. You might get invitations all the time. Not going to get your hands up if you're like, I get so many invitations, I'm overwhelmed. Not me, just a hypothetical person, all right? But realize this. Just because you get heaps, show some empathy and compassion, understand people around you may get none. And it's powerful. Raise the bar. You have no idea how poignant and powerful your invitation could be. Don't you dare downplay who Christ has made you to be and never share with anybody. Never invite anybody. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And you might be so tired. That's okay. You might be so overwhelmed with invitations. Ah! But think about other people. So, Let's get uncomfortable. The case for our discomfort. Sorry if you're already uncomfortable. Philippians 2, 3, 4 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." All right, I just want to depressurize for a second. That is the case for our discomfort, isn't it? We're following Jesus. He was obedient to God, and as we've learned in this series, it was an absolute disaster for him. Horrible crucifixion on a cross so that we could have life. And we live in that life now. But that life isn't about just us having life or us being fulfilled or having no more sin, shame, and death in our lives. It's actually going to go through us and past us in the mission of God. Let's depressurize. We also need to, though, acknowledge the season. Can I just give you a little update on us? I ripped our house apart slightly. That's a great start of a sentence. Slightly. In July, and found asbestos. Sorted that out. It's okay. But I should have put a photo up, actually, for evidence. Anyway, and so we haven't, it's been really hard. We can't actually really have people in our house. I'm the pastor of a church. I'm also an extrovert. It's killing me. But you realize the tension, because not only do I have expectations and like an invitation in scripture to invite people, but like people have expectations that sometimes the pastor's going to be like, "Come over." So I love you. Really like a lot of you. I love you. But I'm so sorry. And then two, we have three boys, 2, 4, and 6. And so straight after church, our two-year-old is Godzilla. Like, going to your house, like, it is problematic. You coming to our house, well, it's torn apart. So look, acknowledge the season and realize that you can't always give an invitation in every moment, and you can't always accept one. You know, it's okay to be really honest with people and just say, "You know what? I'm really sorry." Like, straight after this, our kids are wrecked. We are wrecked. We would love to do it. Let's keep trying and do that. It's okay. All right, so acknowledge the season. I don't know what your season looks like, but have a think about it. Why does invitation carry weight? Why does it make a difference? Why is it profound? Well, because God has created us to be both relational and responsive to Him and each other. God's expectation, yes, He has expectations of us. When we hear and share the good news of Jesus, invite someone to hear the good news of Jesus to church or something else, by faith, have the light of Jesus and the life of Jesus shining in us, which gives us hope and peace in the storm. When we share these things, God expects a response. Invitations require a yes or a no. Yes? But we are shocking. Well done. That was good. Thanks, Emma. We're like, yeah, we really should say yes in 2025 and just be honest. I'll get back to you later. Yes, I will get back to you. I love you. Call my secretary who doesn't exist. We have lots of ways to say really no, but scripture tells us, and this is where we can't lean on our own understanding. You know, I don't know, is your soul tired? Go to Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. But we can't lean on our own understanding, because what we naturally tend to do sometimes isn't that good. We're not honest. We don't give a yes or a no. We don't give people the credit of seeing them not just as one-dimensional, but actually seeing all the redeeming features of them, even if there is something in someone that is abrasive to you. Why is invitation a key part to God's kingdom building plans? Well, Jesus is the way. So what did He do? He walks around, He's going, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mark chapter 1, he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. And so he sends the disciples out saying, tell people the kingdom of God has come. The time has come. The time to accept the invitation. For us, the time to give the invitation has always come. Amen? And what are we giving an invitation to? Raise the bar. God can use your little old invitation just to be like, have a coffee with me. Or, you know, there's a whole group of people. So really, what's one more? Just invite the extra person. And who knows, but by faith, what are you actually inviting him to? Well, by faith, Jesus who lives in me, who lives in you, we're inviting that person to know Jesus. Man, that takes like, not just come see my house that's in shambles and have a meal. Plus, we got to chill out about how our house looks sometimes, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You know. We could go, but we'll stop. To Jesus. You know, therefore, salvation, life, freedom, hope, purpose, identity, security, meaning, everlasting assuredness of where your future lies. That's what is carried in your invitation to the very kingdom of God. Hey, can I share some keys to invitation? Is that cool? Should we be up here? Let's have a look. All right. Number one, we need to have faith that God is at work ahead of us. What do we see in the Old Testament? God is around, protects his people. God goes ahead of his people. God is behind his people. God is what? With his people. So why not have faith, even like itty bitty mustard seed, that God is going ahead of you? When Jesus sent the disciples out, what did he say? Matthew 10 and Luke 9 and 10, he's saying, go out and find the people of peace. This is a great strategy for, like, you know, building, planting church, whatever it is. Just wait for the Holy Spirit to, like, show someone who's quite receptive. And we've got to get through some of our own things, our own fears, if we're honest, in me too. People ask me what I do. Quite often, I'll be like, when I say what I do, I wonder what you think. All the loaded things that are going to come into your head. Because I said a while ago, like 2% of people in Australia trust a Christian pastor. 2%. And I said, wouldn't that be sad if it was all up to me? But it's not. One, I have faith that God is ahead of me. Two, we are the church together. Together. So have faith that God is at work ahead of you. Organize your day, but be open to opportunity and disruption. A great passage in Proverbs 16:9 says this, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So make your plans. You just start your day. Lord, I submit my calendar to you. Help me make my plans. But when you want to come in and just like flip them over, do it. It's okay. I am going to be a little bit uncomfortable and it's going to be okay. Number three, make your invitation clear and simple and back it up with your presence. Your presence, your invitation, you as a person is powerful to help someone accept that invitation. To walk with them, to support them, to make them feel safe. So look, we're looking at the viability. So Easter plans are a 9:30 a.m. service on Good Friday and then a 9 and 11 a.m. service on Easter Sunday. Why? Because we want everyone to be able to fit in person and we want anybody to invite anybody to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But invite them and go with them. If you invite someone to Alpha, what is Alpha? Alpha is 2 hours, one night a week for 10 weeks. If that investment means someone found their salvation, just one, wouldn't we be doing what Jesus says in Luke 15? Leave the 99 sheep, go after the one. Be the elder brother who should have gone after the younger brother and brought him into the feast of salvation, like by the hand. And not drag, like, you get what I mean. Like, don't drag them. Like, but like, well done, Josh. Encouraging them and bring them in and be with them. It is worth the cost. Lastly, engage with and invite those who don't look, sound, or act like you. Because the gospel humbles us to lose our superiority to anyone and engage with everyone. Yeah? I know it's challenging. It's uncomfortable. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, what's the point? This is the cause, the only cause that is worth throwing your life to completely. And it doesn't just outwork in church, it outworks in your school, in your home, in your workplace, in your family, wherever you are. We're going to look at hospitality next week, who we invite, and what to. Before I just land this thing behind me, the myth of invitation, I think, is always that the worst that could happen is worse than no. It kind of isn't. When you actually, like, the media makes us think that all of us are going to have to invite people like this from a platform. 50, 100, whatever more at a time. But usually, isn't it, one-to-one. Phil, how are you doing, man? It's nice to see you. Do you want to come to my house? Not right now. You've got asbestos in there. Actually, no, Phil build our fence. He'd be all over it. But people are so much more moderate when you are talking to them in person. Our social media, the internet positions everybody at like one extreme or another. But we are across this continuum, aren't we? I have neighbors that we love who have views are polar opposite, I'm sure. And we haven't even had a good chance to really delve into some stuff. But they come over to our house like quite often. Their kids come over to our house. We go to theirs. It's great. It is not as hard as we've been led to believe, as the enemy lies and tells us that it is, and as our fear says. So let's figure this out. We've got to get over these things, because what are you doing when you do these things? Did anyone put it together? What are you doing? You are inviting someone, beckoning someone to come home. Home. Welcome home to the kingdom of God, to life in Jesus Christ, to a community that welcomes you and wants to grow with you, that is imperfect but authentic. Raise the bar. This is our role. And so, let's come back to the start. If we're weary, if we're tired, if we're thin, and then what do? We've got to go to Jesus first. We each need to seek Jesus for our personal, because no one can do it on your behalf. That's a wonder of the cross, isn't it? The veil was torn. So there is no priest standing between you and Christ. There is nothing. It is you and him. Go to him. Because we need him to sort our stuff out, don't we? He's sorted out so many things in my life. Hurts, insecurities, fears, unhealthy expectations of ourselves and others. We've got to get excited about the things that excited Jesus Christ. And if we just go back and look at Luke 15 and the end of each story, the end of the sheep story, the end of the coin story, the end of the sun story, what do we read? I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The next story, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Is this stirring something in your heart? We had a young lady who got baptized after church at the end of last week. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say her name, but let's give her a massive round of applause, because that is that. Our true elder brother who went after us is Jesus, and he is the way, and he is our example. But he's more than our example. He's more than our boss. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We do what he did. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Us and everybody else. Can I just take some pressure off you? Someone's salvation is not up to you. Invite them, share it with them. What happens there is up to the work of the Holy Spirit and Christ in their life. If you're like, "I don't even know how to talk to someone about Jesus," that's where your church is equipping you. That's what we're here for. But get that burden off yourself. That is not what you have to do. We got to trust, we got to have faith that God is going ahead of us. Just want to talk one moment. We're going to wrap it up. What tends to happen to us in our faith walk? Well, it's like the law of diminished returns. Anybody start going to the gym this year? Jono, well done. You can tell you're looking good, man. You go at the start and you're like, "All right, nothing's kind of happening. I'm super sore." But then, gains. And so it starts happening. But then you come to a point and you hit like the top of the curve, and you're like, it's so much harder. So what do? We come to faith, and we are so pumped about what Jesus has done in our lives. And we don't worry, like, do I know how to share what's happening in me with someone? Who cares? I have found life in Jesus Christ. Can you explain it to me? Well, sort of. Like, I need some help. That's okay. But what happens is we end up in church, and over time, like, our passion wanes, which all of this scripture is telling us that it can't, because we got to have the same heart as Jesus and we can ask for it. And so we have this heart. And so we don't just fall into this, "I'm going to do church." Doing church means you accepted an invitation, but you're like, "I'm going to sit on it." Being the church with no walls means that we received it and we share it, and we can't help but doing that. And the church has no walls. So, like, I don't care what you do. If you go, "Actually, you know, my friend, they might come over and watch a service at home with me, and I can cook them breakfast. Pancakes sounds good. I mean, I'll come to your place." And you're not here in person, we'd love you to be here. But if that's what it takes, go do that. You know what's good about, like, if we do what we're planning to do for Easter, that the clocks actually change. So the 9 will feel like 10 and the 11 will feel like 12. I mean, God has got this. Yeah, like, we can laugh, but actually he's making it as easy as possible. Why wouldn't that be something that God is doing? When we look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me who are weary and burdened. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is telling us, as Paul does in our expectations of new believers. I've got like 3 minutes left. Are you okay? Awesome. He's telling us what invitation can't come with. I don't know if you've had this kind of invitation. I got invited to a lunch. There was actually an explanation of a pyramid scheme. That's called a bait and switch. We're not doing that. Don't invite them for pancakes and coffee and then say, "By the way, we're going to watch my church's service this morning and you must watch all of it." Tell them, be super upfront. "What are you doing on a weekend?" Go away. Not you guys. "What are you doing on a weekend?" "I go to church." Like, the extreme positions that society says we have to be in means that you think everyone's going to go, you're an absolute twit for going to church. Most people go, yeah, yeah. Community, doing good. Like the very little that they know, most people are like, cool. And then we get to share the actual, what is so cool? It's not us. It's not this. It is Christ and Him resurrected and the life we have in Him. So it can't be a bait and switch. It can't be manipulation. It can't be control. You can't have expectations like just because they came, great, now they're in church for life. No. And accompany what you're doing in prayer. Hey, I want to wrap up. I want to share again. I know that when we're like, this just feels like pastors asking me to make invitations to get more people in church for Easter. But what I'm saying is God isn't worried about what we do. He's worried about the attitudes of our heart. And when we realize what we've been invited to, constantly invited to, then our response is out of a place of love in response to His love, His sacrifice for us. And it's like given freely to us. And so all of a sudden, we're stepping into this incredible freedom, even through our discomfort. Matthew 11, I love this, the Message version. Verse 28 to 30 again. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. He's the way. I learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's Jesus' invitation to us. So our invitations to people better carry the same things and not things that Jesus never meant for us to carry or to put on to others. Let's raise the bar. Let's beckon someone home because you were first invited home. Sometimes I think we fall into this, I did this. I got me to church. My parents got me to church. Who saved you? Not your parents. And it is profound what Jesus has done for us. I want to pray for you. I wonder, team, can you come up and just play behind us, and I invite you to stand. I just want to share something with you, and I want to pray especially that if this seems too good to be true, would you stand with me? I can't remember who wrote it, but it was this. Christianity doesn't have any cliches, just wonderful truths that people say with empty hearts. And I wonder today, if you've been walking for Christ, with Christ, for Christ, for a long time, but right now you're just like, my heart is weary. My heart feels empty. That seems too good to be true. And therefore, the idea of inviting someone is like, just that idea is pushing you to breaking point. I acknowledge this season. But don't we want to acknowledge a God who is bigger, who is sovereign, and believe for a season of restoration, not just in our own hearts, but actually in people's lives as they come to faith through an invitation to come home? I'm inviting you to, by faith, trust that what Jesus is saying is true for you and true for the person you are yet to invite to experience the light and life of Jesus Christ that is in your life and in His church. And challenge us too as the church. We have open doors into people's lives that sometimes we don't see because our eyes aren't open. And so let's pray that God would open our eyes. Lord, we come before you and we thank you that in dark places you bring light. Where there is death, you bring life. Where there is a deficit, a depletion, Lord, you bring restoration and energy and passion and life. Lord, we claim that you have given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the fears that we have, the insecurities that we have, whatever it is, Lord, we give it over to you and ask for you to heal it and restore it in Jesus' name. We prophesy a season of restoration and healing. Lord, if our hearts are empty, Lord, we're sorry. Bring us back to you and help us not to be in a place where we say, all right, God loves me, but it doesn't mean anything. Where Jesus' invitation, come to me who are weary and burdened. Come to me and live freely and lightly, Lord. That is the truest invitation we have ever received. It's light and life in Jesus Christ. And it's something that we get to share as we beckon others to find the same hope and life and home in the kingdom of God that we have found. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing. What does he do?